Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today. If you're here last week, you know we started this series, this big idea and thought that Jesus is King. And today, I'm excited to be able to share with you, whether you come here and C1 is your church and has been for years, or it's your first time here in the room or watching online, thank you so much for being here. When I first saw this, Jesus is King, really two things for me came to mind. And the first one was, oh, this is such a great idea. I feel like we should save this series for Easter, because that's typically what we would celebrate at Easter, of the core beliefs of what we believe of the faith. Jesus came and lived a sinless life, a life we couldn't live. He died the death that we deserve because of our sin on the cross. He carried our sin and the guilt and the shame into the tomb. And that 3 days later, God the Father and the power of the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and he is victorious. Jesus is King because he has defeated sin and death. And then he ascends and sits at the right hand of the Father, from where he will come at the end of time, and we will see Jesus face to face. It's like the core of what we believe. Jesus is King. And I was like, oh, we should have saved this for Easter. But in the same part, I realized, you know what? Brian says this all the time. Every Sunday around here is Easter. Every time that we are here, people have the opportunity to enter into the kingdom, to enter into a relationship with Jesus. So actually, I love that we're talking about this now. And the second thing I thought when I saw Jesus is King. King is a very political word. And I was like, this would have been an interesting series to like preach in November or something. Could have been really interesting. But it's political, but sometimes we don't think of it as being political, because obviously in this country, we don't have a king. A king is not elected by democracy. There's not a balance and check of power from like a House or Senate. No, if you're the king, you have absolute authority. What you say goes. And I think it was interesting, if you were to think about being a king or having a king with absolute authority, if you're anything like me, that can cause you to be a little bit uneasy. Do we really trust someone, one person, to have absolute authority to make every call and decision? Charles Spurgeon, a famous preacher, once preached this, and I thought it was good. I want to share it with you. He says, "The rule of one person would be the best form of government if that individual were perfectly good, infinitely wise, and abundant in power. And the reason why an autocrat, someone with absolute power, turns into a despot, somebody who uses it for evil, is that there is no man who is perfectly good, unselfish, or wise. And that is why our political structures often fail. There is, however, thank God," Spurgeon continues, "one king whose power we do not wish to limit in any degree or circumscribe. God has no fault or failing, and therefore it is a joy that he does according to his will. He never wills anything that's not strictly just. In the exercise of absolute sovereignty, he is neither unjust nor unmerciful. It is not possible for him to err, and therefore it is a great subject for joy that we say Jesus is King, the Lord reigns, and he is clothed in majesty." Jesus is King. We can trust him. He is good. He is just. He is merciful, and he is loving. So Jesus is King, and today is really more about, if you believe Jesus is King, how do you live? And what does that mean? What does that cause you to experience in life? I hope you're taking notes today. There's a lot that hopefully you dive into a little Bible study this week if you wanted to. But really the first thing I wanna say, if Jesus is King, and if you live as Jesus is King, you will experience the peace of his reign. There's something that happens when we acknowledge who is in power. If we know who is in power, it can give us peace. I would say it this way, and maybe a silly way, but I've kind of gotten into a rhythm with my wife over the last month or so that every Sunday night we play a board game with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law. Cody and Jessica, thanks for listening. I saw you were online earlier. The game, some of you are familiar, I heard a chuckle in the room already, is the Settlers of Catan. And every Sunday night we pull out the board, we pull out the computer, and they're playing from where they are, and we're playing together. I don't know how to say this. I'm trying to be like humble. I don't know how to say this without sounding terrible. I'll present the facts, okay? I'll present the facts to you. In the last 4 months, I've only lost one time when we're playing this. And so I've got this strategy, I've got this figured out. And if you're unfamiliar, here's how the game works. There's an island, there's a fight for resources. There's a power struggle that's happening. You can trade with people, and if you have more power and you're like me, you can start to be a little cruel and be a tyrant on the island and manipulate. It's so much fun. I don't know if that reveals something about me, but it's so much fun. And every time we play, there's this moment. It comes towards the end of the game. I look down, I look at my cards, and I'm like, oh, there's 3 or 4 rounds left, but I've already won. Like, I know, they don't know it yet, but I know it. I've already won this thing. And that changes how I play the game. Most of the game, I'm super mean, I'm trading, I'm like, no, I don't wanna do business with you, you stop, go in your corner of the island. But when it comes to the end, I'm like, oh, you want something? Here you go. Go for it. Oh, you want to trade with me? Oh, this really doesn't benefit me, but here you go. You can have some too. I'm like, Galen, what's changed in you? I'm like, oh, nothing. Holding all the cards there because I know I've won. Change is how you play the game. The reason I tell you that is I believe this. If we truly believe that Jesus is in power, we know what happens in the end. We know that there's a victory coming that will far overshadow everything that's happening now. And if we live that way, it can change how we react and we respond to people. We can experience a peace that when someone says something, they just get us fired up. We don't have to react. We don't have to go off and yell at them and tell them our opinion because they're wrong and we're right. Instead, we can say, okay, I know how this is going to end. And I think probably what's going to win you to Jesus, I've never won somebody to Jesus by expressing a political opinion, but I have by listening. Building relationship and going with the flow with him because I know one day I know how all of this is going to play out. We face large problems today. Our country is divided by race. Our politics are polarizing, hyperbolic, and hateful. Maybe closer to home, we wonder, is my kid going to be okay in school this fall? Is my family member who's struggling with their mental health going to be all right? Or we think, man, my anxiety is higher than it's ever been before because I ask a million what if questions every day. But I think despite all of these things, we can have a peace in our heart because we know who is king and who is in power. Romans 8 says it this way. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Really, I mean, here's the difference. Here's what it looks like. I think we can begin to think, I don't know what this looks like. I don't know what's next for me. I don't know how all this world is gonna play out. But we as Christians should have a hope and a faith and a peace that is different than the rest of the world. That then because we know who is king, we can say, I may not know, but I know he knows how this will end. I know that he knows what's next for me and he is good and he will provide for me. I don't know how all this is gonna play out, but he does. Therefore, I can rest in my faith, which another word to translate faith is trust. I can rest in my faith and trust in Jesus through this. I was talking with someone this week, called in. Hey, would you pray for me? I lost my job this week. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's terrible. Of course I'll pray with you. Are you doing okay? Yeah, I'm doing fine. God will provide. And at first it's like, well, but like, what's gonna happen? What's next? Scripture says that the faith in Jesus is foolish to the rest of the world. You just trust God's gonna provide? What does that mean? But as Christians, we know when we have this faith, we know that God has been faithful and he will be faithful, so we can trust in the moment right now, he will provide. And the king can give us something else that the rest of the world can't give. He can give his peace. I would say if you're here watching online today and you have been struggling, I'd ask you to do a little inner check. How is your soul in this time? Do you feel unsettled? Do you feel shaken by everything that has come? And if so, I want you to dive in and trust Jesus. Maybe if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, you say, I know I need this peace. Trusting him, asking forgiveness, living for him doesn't maybe solve everything, but it is the first step to step in the kingdom. God, I want to live for you. I know I need this peace that I have been created for. Or if you're already following Jesus and you've been unsettled heart, your life has been shaken, you're not sure what's next, maybe this week you would write down the scriptures at the bottom of this. You'd read through them every day and you'd begin to pray God's peace over your life. The king says this, I'm leaving you now with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world can't give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Well, how do we experience this peace? We read in Ephesians that he himself is our peace. It's not just an exchange, God, give me peace so I can go on my day and be peaceful. God, I have peace because I know you and I have a relationship with you. Then the peace of Christ can rule in your hearts. And what does it look like to practically experience peace when you're stressed out about the world from Philippians? Tell God what you need. Let him know what you need. And then thank him for all that he has already done for you. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. And that peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. I love this. Guard your heart and your mind. With everything that's coming at us and opinions and everything we see in the media or news or social media, we need something that can guard our heart and mind with peace. When you live with Jesus as King, you can experience the peace of the King. And secondly, today, if you are taking notes, I don't want to skip this. This is a great prayer for you. It's the 2 Thessalonians. Maybe you'd pray this week. It's my prayer for you now. May the Lord of peace, who is peace himself, give you peace. When? At all times. How? In every way. What a beautiful blanket prayer. So if you're taking notes, you can experience the peace of his reign as you live in obedience to the powerful words of the King. I'd love to ask you, does anyone come to mind for you when you think about maybe from your childhood or a boss or a manager, has there been anyone that when they simply say your name, they're either the tone, they have a deep voice, or the authority that's behind it, it is powerful. Maybe it was a parent, it's not just your name, but your full name or your first and your middle name. When they say something, it causes you to, yeah, okay, I'm listening now. There's power in your voice. I think for me, I think back to my high school football coach. His name was Coach Hilliard. My mascot in high school was the Bulldogs. And this guy was the personification, the embodiment of a man that was like a bulldog. He was a little bit shorter. He was really, really stocky and strong. so I shouldn't say everything that comes to mind. I was going to say, he doesn't quite have as many roles as a bulldog probably would. He's this big dude. He was gruff and he was mean. He never hit anybody in football practice, but even without pads, I'm like, Coach, are you going to hit us? Because I'm scared of that, actually. And he had this voice that when you would do something, it was deep, but it was sharp. And so I would like throw a bad pass or miss a tackle and go, Ryman? And immediately, yes, Coach? What do you need? And whatever he would say, that always happened. I remember one time he was like, Ryman. And I go, yeah. And he goes, you're as pretty as sunshine, but you're as soft as a snowflake. And like, that didn't register with me. I was like, yes, sir, you're right. Yeah, what? No, that's not, okay, yes, you're right, sir. His voice had power. Now, that's a silly example, but there's not really any human examples of, I want you to think, have you ever thought about the power of God's words? Think about it for a moment. Scripture says in the beginning, God created. When he created the heavens and earth and everything in it, did he form everything with his hands? No, he spoke. Let there be, and there was. His words literally have the power to create. I think of it this way. He goes to Noah. Hey, old man, I want you to build a boat. Rain is coming. A flood's going to happen. Noah's probably like, what's a boat? What's rain? What's a flood? But God said, I've spoken this. Because I have spoken it, it will come to pass. Isaiah says it this way. His word does not return empty or void. God says, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it and I will do it. God comes to Abraham and Sarah and he says, listen, you're going to have a baby. They start laughing at him. Oh, you're laughing at me because you're both old enough to be in a nursing home and I just told you you're going to have a child? but my words create life in what has been dead. When God breathes into us, it creates life. So yes, you will laugh again. This time next year, you're gonna be holding your baby. And when you laugh, it'll be with a heart full of joy because what I have spoken, I will bring it to pass. David, this young, scrawny, nomadic sheep herder by himself, off by himself, who's the runt of his family. Nobody knows who he is. But God says, David, I love you. I'm gonna make you a king like your people has never known. David says, you're gonna make me king? Yes, I'm anointing you now. And more than that, because I'm God, I will give one of your descendants will always sit on the throne forever. So forever? I mean, like three or four generations, somebody's probably gonna mess up. Someone's gonna come in and invade. There's gonna be a king forever? God says, yes, because when he speaks it, he will bring it to pass. And so Jesus is born into David's line of his ancestry. And Jesus is a more powerful, perfect king whose reign will never end. And his peace will always continue. And God keeps his word. Or finally, at the end of time, when Jesus returns, Revelation depicts that he who is faithful and true comes back riding on a white horse with justice in his hand. And he defeats his enemies. How does he do that? Says with the sword that comes out of his mouth. He simply speaks. God's word is so powerful. It says the word of the king is supreme. His command is backed by great power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. The reason I want you to think about that for a minute is today. Where do we see God's word? First, we see it here. God has spoken his words to men and women throughout time in their own language, in their own context, and they have written it down, and we have this here today. And the reason I want us to think about how powerful God's word is because oftentimes when we look at this book, we view it as maybe any other book, which most of us don't read in the first place anyway. Pastor Matthew told me this morning that I believe today is National like Book Reading Day or something, which is only a fact that him and Bob Brown would know probably. The rest of us don't, sorry, Bob, yeah. The rest of us don't really read. And if we looked at this book, we'd say not only is it a book, but it is a difficult book to understand. It's super long, are you kidding me? But if we understand, God's word has power. Power to transform us, power to change us, to correct us when we're wrong, to give us life. Maybe we could view this differently. And if you're confused, talk to your life group leader, talk to me. We wanna help you and give you tools to help you understand what is happening and when it is happening in the scriptures. Let us know, we wanna help you. This is power. And Jesus himself is the capital W, if you will, the word made flesh that moved in and lived among us. If we wanna know how to live life and cling to the power of life, we need to cling to Jesus. And finally today, God's word comes to us through the Holy Spirit when we follow his leadings. But when we hear God's word, I want you to see the difference. It's not just, Jesus, I believe you're real, or God, I believe that you exist. Being a follower of Jesus means I'm obeying what the king commands. Jesus says it this way, if you love me, obey my commands. It's not if you love me, believe I'm real and do a few ritual religious things. If you love me, do what my word says. And I love this from the Message paraphrase translation. Do what your king commands. You gave a sacred oath of obedience. Don't worryingly second guess your orders or try to back out when it gets unpleasant. When you're serving his pleasure, not yours. The king has the last word. Who dare say to him, what are you doing? And this is I love this last part. Carrying out orders won't hurt you a bit. The wise person obeys promptly and accurately. This is how we follow Jesus. And finally, today, if you're taking notes, the last part of this, experience the peace of his reign as you live in obedience to the powerful words of the king and follow the nudges of his Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says it this way. Romans 8 is a great chapter to read, especially if you're interested more on the Holy Spirit and life in Jesus now. One part of it, verses 5 and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. And here's the difference. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads you to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life, and there it is again, peace. What's interesting, I heard a pastor preach this once, and there's a different translation, different thought. But you see, those who are dominated by sinful nature, controlled by the Holy Spirit. One translation says, those who live under the influence of the sinful nature. The thoughts you get of, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it anyway. You're living under the influence of those. But what if instead we could live under the influence of the Spirit? Which I recognize immediately, some of you might chuckle. When you hear the phrase, oh, I was under the influence, that probably brings, a couple chuckles, you know where I'm going with this, alcoholic or drug-related things to mind. Well, I'm sorry, I was under the influence. It had an effect on me, and I made decisions that I probably wouldn't normally make. It had influence in my life. So what does it look like to flip the metaphor? And to say, God, I want to live under your influence. Maybe I'd make decisions and do things that I probably wouldn't normally do, but are things that are according to your will, things that are good, honorable, pleasing, just, and loving. I would let you influence my decision-making and do the things that you would want me to do. I think last week in my life group, I was sitting around and Larry was talking and he said, you know, I was sitting in the restaurant and I had this thought that crossed my mind. I should pray for our waitress. And I don't know if you're anything like me and Larry, but you ever have those thoughts that like, I should do something. I should give that person a ride home, or I should buy that person's lunch. I should walk across the street, see how they're doing, or I should pick up the phone and call them. And if you're anything like me or Larry, you have these thoughts and you begin to wonder, so is this just me? Or maybe if you're a Jesus follower, is this God trying to lead me and get me to do something? And so Larry tells this story to our life group. He walks over to the waitress and he was like, yeah, and I touched her. And first of all, our whole life group goes, oh, it's 2020, you can't do that. Either you're gonna get sued or like the Rona's gonna happen to you. Like, you can't do that, you can't do this. He's like, no, I just grabbed her shoulder, turned around, said, hey, ma'am, I know this is awkward, like, right? This is not socially normal. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Is there any way I can pray for you? And he said that she began actually to break down. I was like, actually, yes, I've been going through it, and I need prayer. And it's in moments like this, when you have these thoughts, here's what I would say. If it's a good thing to do, go ahead and do it anyway. If you're wondering, is this me or is this God? If it's a good thing, just do it anyway. The worst that happens is you do something good for someone else. The best thing that happens, though, God, who's standing over it all, sees all the pieces on the table, and he's putting people in the right place to do the thing that others need. And we begin to see God's power through his Spirit come in and through us and out towards other people. And we have these interactions by divine appointment. I think of another way. We have a man who is a children's worker, and he's a children's volunteer here at the church. But there was someone he knew of, a friend, that had got some news, and his life was kind of coming to an end. And he was not a Jesus follower, really hadn't been open to the whole Christian message. But this children's worker feels this nudge. Hey, I should call. Can I go visit him? So does he, this nudge, does he say yes or no? So he calls, would it be okay if I came and sat with him? Yeah, sure, actually. He begins to sit with him and, hey, what does this Jesus conversation look like for you? Where do you stand with your faith? And the man actually began to open up and say, I haven't lived for Jesus, I haven't. And our children's worker, it's not a pastor, it's just a person of our church, says, would you want to enter into a relationship with Jesus? Do you need this peace? Do you need this hope? Do you need this security, a hope, an anchor for your soul? He said, yes. He was able to lead him in a prayer. When we follow God's nudges, it could literally change someone's life. The Spirit is with us and working with us. Finally, just one more example. If I told you, you would not believe me, the amount of times people will catch us after the service or send us an email, send us a text. Hey, Pastor, do you know what's going on in my life? They make it sound like creepy pastor driving by their house in my car, like looking in their windows or something. And no, I don't know what's going on in your life. Why would you ask that? Well, because here's the backstory. And what was said today, what was sung today, what was prayed today was exactly what I needed to hear. God's Spirit brings us to the right place and speaks to us what it is we need to hear to help us, encourage us, and draw closer to God. Really, the picture I want to give you with this is a picture of a great conductor. I believe that God is the great conductor. He looks at each one of us individually to play our own part. Maybe in the story, Larry was playing a tuba. He was doing his part in God's work. Maybe the children's worker was the trumpet. Maybe some of us are a sassy saxophone that loves to sound off. Not sure what that means, but you know who you are. But we all have our part to play. And I think God sits back, and through his Spirit, he directs us. Hey, I want you to do this in this time. To play forte, to play piano, to rest and be silent in some parts. I want you to do exactly what I'm calling you to do. And if we are obedient with what God is asking us to do, then we get to sit back and hear this beautiful sound that the rest of the world will get to hear of us living in tune with God, loving God, but also in tune with each other, unified as a church in the way that we go forward and love people and share the good news. And when the world sees this, when the world hears this, it will be irresistible. Because the most beautiful thing when people love God and love others, we live as we were designed to live. So let God influence your life. What changes would he want you to make? Where would he want you to go? Who would he want you to talk to? Let him have influence and say yes when he is calling you. If you do all of these things, live as Jesus is King, you will experience the peace of his reign. As you follow obediently to his powerful words and follow the nudges of the Holy Spirit. This week, I want to give you this prayer. This week, may you experience his peace. Live in obedience to his word. Follow the leading of the Spirit. And God, would you make your thoughts our thoughts? And by our words and by our actions, may your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we love you. We're thankful that you are the great King who is in power. God, we thank you that even while we were far away from you, you loved us enough to draw near to us, to choose us, and remind us that we are loved by you. God, if there's anyone who is here today that says, that peace you're talking about, I don't have it. My soul has been shaken. My life feels like it's crumbling all around me. God, in this moment, may they know that they can turn to you. We know your word says that all we need to do is to confess. God, I'm sorry I'm a sinner, which just means, God, I'm sorry I've missed the mark. I'm sorry I haven't lived my life for you. And now the result of all that as I look around me is death playing out in its life. Death in relationships, destructive habits that I have formed. I know I'm not who I'm supposed to be. But if that's you today, maybe you'd say, Jesus, I'm in. I want to give this a try. I want to say yes to you. I want to follow you. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I give my heart, I give my life to you. Give me this new resurrection power and lead me on a new path, the path that you have laid out for me. And God, for all of us that are here today, may we experience your peace from you, who are peace yourself. Help us to know you, God. Help us to lean in our quiet times throughout the week, in our own study, in our own prayer life, just to simply pray, God, I wanna know you. And as we know you, then to experience this peace in all times and in every way. God, this week I pray specifically for people that will have thoughts that come to mind. Maybe I should. God, help us to be a people who just say yes. Help us to become a people that have become more aware of your presence and when you want us to do things in our life. And I trust that as we say yes, we experience this peace to know that you are King. God, lead us and guide us and direct us this week. We love you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.